T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Mully and Hall, mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
He throws some stuff up that's hard and it goes in, really hard. And then when he goes outside and makes those, I mean, that's hard to do. It's hard to defend him. He's a physical specimen. He's like Charles Barkley was, except he shoots better than Charles did. And he's not as fat. So I hope Charles will come back. He'll have something for me there. But no, he's a different player. I mean, I haven't seen really any player like him.
Sports Radio 670 The Score. That is the Syracuse coach, Jim Boeheim, telling you what he thinks of one Zion Williamson. And
Future Bowl.
Boy, let's hope. And, you know, David, we talked about the difference between the NBA and other sports and young guys coming out. Mm-hmm. And I had an epiphany. You did turn my mind on that. And I now believe that, yeah, if a guy is good enough to come out, he should be able to come out. Why wait 3 years if you're some 6'5 laser arm quarterback at Clemson that probably could?
I changed your mind about it from a football perspective.
I always thought that from a football perspective that it was a grown man's game, but the rules have changed. The sport isn't as violent. I think you can adapt. I've always felt that basketball players can make that jump. I've never felt that was impossible.
Well, there's evidence.
With a kid this, well, LeBron James, evidence number one. With a kid like this, you heard what Jim Boeheim said. And why roll an ankle? Why need microfracture surgery on your knee if it comes to it, right? Greg Oden had a real good college season and ended up getting drafted. He made a lot of money, but not nearly what he could have if he had an entire career. Why are we so dead set against this idea? And the texters are going crazy about it. I got to tell you, I think it's a genius idea. I had not stopped and thought about it, but what's the downside for this kid?
I don't think there's a downside, because the bottom line is, In his case, you know, is becoming an NBA millionaire and securing his family and himself for the future. So with that in mind, yeah, he could justify saying to Mike Krzyzewski tonight, you know, I'm not going to practice. I'm shutting it down. I'm done. I'm Zion, the first pick of the NBA draft. And he could face some backlash and people would understand. And it would set off a national discussion, which may begin anyway. Maybe Scottie Pippen was onto something. Maybe this is just, you know, needed to be voiced for somebody to really kind of consider it. And I think I could come around to the idea. I think what, you know, and texters have pointed this out, there's an element of me, I think, with a lot of people. I mean, the tradition of the March Madness, the NCAA tournament, the value of experiencing a championship run like you do at Duke, like you do at North Carolina, at Villanova, at these places that I think you would be walking away from, and there'd be an element like, yeah, you'd be quitting in midseason. You'd be quitting on a commitment. You'd be reneging. And I don't think that devalues him as a NBA prospect at all.
No.
And it would not affect his brand one iota. I think that it would be bad for college basketball.
Well, that's it.
And that's probably what I'm reacting to. Yes, it would be great for Zion Williamson. I would respect his ability to do whatever is best for his future. But as a college basketball fan, I would hate to see that become a trend.
Yeah, these poor million-dollar athletic directors and coaches, they're the real victims here, aren't they, David?
No, I'm not saying they're victims. I'm not trying to victimize them at all, Kevin. I think that from you know, if you like March Madness, if you like the NCAA basketball tournament, which is probably the best sporting event going, would you agree with that? On Selection
Sunday.
Well,
it was last year.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
And you loved it, too.
I loved it,
and
too.
And there's a great romanticism to it, the idea of amateur sports and the idea of guys kind of going to school together and working for something and having that for the rest of their lives. And, you know, you see championship teams, and it means a lot. But, man, come on.
If more guys like Zion Williamson would do this, if this sparked a trend,
yes,
that would get the attention and finally compel the NCAA to respond to this by compensating athletes, stipend,
sure,
whatever it is, however they do it,
would that change the advice to Zion Williamson?
Maybe
he was getting $500 a month.
It wouldn't be $500 a month. I think it was probably more than that.
Okay.
But I think in Zion Williamson's case, he's the exception to the rule. The exceptions are still going to be the exceptions. But if this would compel, you know, them to pay everybody, so maybe a guy who might be a borderline first or second round pick, because this is going to be something that everybody considers if one guy considers it, right?
And that's not a good reason to stop someone. I'm not even kidding you. There is like this idea now that this is that I officially am on board with whatever Scottie Pippen wants to do. I'm voting for Scottie Pippen. Chairman.
Yeah.
President of anything. Anthony's in Lincoln
Let's
Park.
Go, Kobe!
Good morning, that. Anthony.
Hi, Anthony.
Hey, guys. Hey, thanks for having me on.
Okay.
So I think that he should, I think he should shut it down. I think it definitely is the best move for him, and I think that, you know, the system allows it right now, and he should definitely take advantage of that. But I think that being said, that's why, I'm not a big fan of college basketball anymore. I think that I would like them to go back to, you having the opportunity to go straight from high school. But also, if you do commit to a college, that you have to be locked in for maybe 2 years, not three, like football. But I do think that just for the fans, the sport itself, March Madness, having teams last longer than just 1 year and then them just leaving, I think that there should be an option for them to go straight to the NBA out of high school. But I think that to keep college, as great of a sport as it is, competitive, that they should kind of lock him in for 2 years like football in a way. Because I love college football, and I think that, if you watch them make those national championship runs and go to the playoffs, it's that much more exciting. And, you get to watch these players for 2 to 3 years playing the same team.
Anthony, here's the problem with that. The problem is that what we're seeing now in college basketball, what we're talking about in college football, is this idea that I find it really entertaining. I love this event. I want the event to have value. Me, my, how I look at it, right? What about the kid?
What's best for the kid? You say that, and you're right. And nobody can argue that what you're saying. But I think that's the nature of every sporting event, Molly. I mean, everything that you pay money to go watch is about you. It's about you improving your own personal experience.
But
I want to pay $500 to go watch the Bears play because I get value out of that. I enjoy that. Everything is about everyone's personal enjoyment. Of course it is.
Yeah, I just think that there is already such hypocrisy. Well, you got to go for a year because that helps the NBA and we let you mature a little bit. And the coaches, we're hoping he stays, but we're just actually recruiting guys that we know are one and done because they have no interest in college and they don't really want to be here. Duke is this great school of higher education, and I am, willing to have any guy that wants to stick around. We had a dirty player that stayed here for 4 years.
Nobody's going to sit here and defend the NCAA model. You can't do it anymore.
No.
But I always say this, and I always expose myself to ridicule or whatever. I mean, look, there are two college footballs and there are two college basketballs. And there's the one for the people who are basically using college sports as a vehicle to get to the NBA or the NFL. And God bless them. Great.
Bill Gates, college dropout. Okay.
But again,
he dropped out of Harvard. That's true.
Yeah. But the people that are using it as a vehicle to become a professional athlete, and the people who aren't, the people who are there and benefit from the types of things that are, free room, board, tuition, and books. I mean, that is still the majority of college athletes. The small percentage of people that are, future pros, then there has to be a different mechanism in place for them to use so they can do what they want to do. And there isn't the hypocrisy that you talk about because it exists right now. And that's too bad.
312-644-6767. We'll try Greg. He's in St. Charles. Hey, Greg.
Morning, Greg.
Hey, guys. Hey, I think Scotty might have gotten a chance to meet Darius Garland down at Vanderbilt, who was a top five prospect, you know, probably top 10 in an NBA draft. Best recruit we've ever had, and the kid blew his knee out about a month ago. So, you know, what are his chances of, you know, how far he moved down the draft board by playing, you know, 2 months of college ball?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of examples of that. There's a lot of guys that have suffered injury. It's you know, it's unfortunately, it's out there for some people. And I don't agree with the idea that you got to play scared. I just think that what's the upside? What's the upside for Zion Williamson? How much higher can he be taken?
Well,
how much
you're saying better can he you will consider? Be playing scared. I mean, he will be playing scared now.
No, he'd be not playing scared.
But if he goes out there, every time he goes out there now, you're like, oh, was that a grimace? Oh, my gosh. Did
no,
he roll his ankle?
That's not how I look at it. I just don't see an upside for him. I think he's accomplished everything he needs to accomplish. And the idea that, no, I mean, you know what? Petition a league. Let him play the second half of the season. Let the Bulls use their pick next year. Let's see the kid play. Let's see if they can win some games. You don't worry about the pick. No one would be taken if you had these guys available to you right now. Let them go to the highest bidder. 312-644-6767. We're going to bring in Greg Gabriel in the conversation. We'll talk some football, but I want to get back to this because this is an idea that has blown my mind. It's not often that something is just so damn sensible that you wonder why you didn't come up with it yourself. Really? Oh, it's so simple and perfect. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score. That is the voice of the Bears. What would you call him? General manager? Architect?
He's the general
executive,
manager.
Executive yeah. of the year?
Future
Ryan
executive
Pace.
Of the year. Yeah.
Let's welcome in Greg Gabriel. Greg, how are you?
Morning, Greg.
I'm wonderful. How are you guys?
Well, you know, we're kind of debating the idea of Kareem Hunt being brought on. I get it. I understand that Matt Nagy knows him well and worked with him, but that's a hard sell for me. I don't know. You know, Greg, you've certainly been around plenty of guys that weren't choir boys, that weren't altar boys, but that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about, you know, we're talking about assault. It's not some kind of domestic dispute. It's assault. And it's assault on a woman. And he's been charged, hasn't been charged, but he's been involved in at least three incidents, including that one. And we don't know what else. And it's just dodgy to me.
Well, it's a very sensitive subject, to say the least. And I don't think that we've even begun to go through the process. But it's obvious just by the mere fact that it was brought up at the end of the season press conference that it's been talked about inside Hallis Hall. And they are at least going through more than the motions to investigate this thing and see if it's a worthwhile signing for them in the future. But before any of that happens, it's got to be dealt with by the league. And the league hasn't done anything. When that video first came out, I thought it would be anywhere from between 6 games to a 12-game or full season suspension, 6 games to a full season suspension. In essence, because he got cut right away, he's already been suspended because when the league talks suspension, they're talking paychecks. And he hadn't got a paycheck in the last 5 regular season games plus 1 playoff game that's already been played and then this week too. So that's 7 games. I would think at minimum the league's going to come down with 4 more games at the beginning of the season. And after the league makes their determination, and they may go even further than that, they may say indefinite suspension, which could take us all through the 2019 season. And I think if that's the case, you're not going to see him here or maybe anywhere else being away from football for that long. But then once the league makes their determination, then you get inside Hallis Hall, and more so than Matt Nagy or Ryan Pace, it's going to be Mrs. McCaskey and George McCaskey. And if they say no, the discussion ends right then and there. If they want more information. Those guys, I'm sure, will get them the information. And I think if they do end up going through with it and signing him, he's going to be on a very, very short leash. And there's going to be people that are very sensitive to the subject. There are going to be people against it. There's going to be people who are for it because of his the quality of his play on the field. But I don't think any of us, be it media, be it the football people at Hallis Hall, even the league, really knows everything that they need to know before they can make a determination. But if anybody knows the player well, it's going to be Matt Nagy, because he's already spent a year with him. He spent his whole rookie year with him, knows what the detailed reports were going through the draft process, and then what he was like in the locker room, on the practice field, in games last year with Kansas City. And I think that'll play into it, but I think we're a long way away from knowing what the answer is.
I do too, Greg. All those things are valid and very well put, but I also think the whole discussion is premature, and I think a year early. And that's why I was surprised that they actually introduced the idea themselves. Yes, he was asked about it, but they entertained six more questions, and Matt Nagy volunteered that he called Kareem Hunt. And I just feel like, knowing the player, you know, giving him a second chance, these are all valid, worthwhile points to make and understandable, you know, sentiments to have. But I just don't think it's necessary to do that coming the season-ending press conference coming off a 12-4 year. I that's what surprised me as much as anything, was the timing of everything.
Well, David, and you make valid points, and you know how I looked at it? It was a trial balloon. Mm-hmm. Let's see how the people react to it. Number one, let's see how the fans react to it. Number two, let's see how the media reacts to it, and then go from there. I think they purposely put it out there. That's my impression anyway. From watching it, and I said, you know, watched it on my laptop here at home, you know, live, and as soon as it was brought up, that was the initial reaction that I had to the topic. It was, let's see how people react to this, and then we're going to go from there.
What did you think of the reaction then?
I think it's been mixed from everything I've read, and I saw David's article, and I think I'm not going to say it's 50-50. It's probably 60-40 against, maybe 70-30, but at the same time, you know, knowing, I don't really know Matt Nagy, but I know Andy Reid. I worked for him for a year, and you watch, Andy Reid has always been big on giving people second chances. He has signed some people, be it with Philadelphia and with Kansas City, that don't have the greatest background, and he gives them an opportunity to play again, but they're on a very, very short lease, and if they screw up, they're gone. This guy's 23 years old, and I'm not standing up for him. I'm just trying to lay the facts out. He's 23 years old. I think that, you know, he is going to get a chance. Who knows where it is? Is it going to be with the Chicago Bears, or is it going to be somewhere else? But until all the information is out, and we may never know all the information, but the team will and the league will, and they'll go from there.
Greg, how do you explain the Bears' turnover on their defensive coaching staff, beyond the fact that, you know, Vic is taking Ed Donatell and Staley, the linebackers coach, and that makes some sense. But there's some other turnover that maybe doesn't.
I thought that was the mascot.
I'm sorry, Molly, I didn't hear what you said.
I made a joke. I said, he, you know, Staley is going. I said, I thought that he was the mascot, not the D-backs. Okay. I just made a bad joke, Greg. You know me.
No, and I wouldn't be a bit surprised. The inside linebacker coach was told yesterday that he's not going to be retained. Pagano obviously wants his own people. I was hoping that Pyers and Rodgers will be retained. There's been nothing on Rodgers right now, and I don't know what his contractual situation is. But you like some continuity, but at the same time, you know, Pagano's going to want to have the guys that he's worked with before, that he trusts and that he feels are good teachers. And that's the key, finding good teachers who understand the game and can relate the game to the players, and the players are going to play hard for. And obviously this defensive staff was pretty good. In most areas, it's going to be broken up, but that happens in pro football. You know, if Vic didn't stay last year, it would have happened last year. But now, you know, it was a choice job for defensive coordinators. I don't think they're going to have a hard time going out and trying to get people to fill these positions that are open right now.
Greg, when we talk about Cody Parkey, how easy is it to find a kicker? How difficult is it? Do they have to draft one? Can you get one off the street? How would you handle this situation?
In my opinion, it's a very difficult situation. It's the hardest position for me to scout. Now, it might be easy for some other people. And all the years I was involved in the league between the Giants and the Bears, we always put a lot on the special teams coach to make that decision. Who are the guys that he wanted, whether you draft the player or, you know, you sign him as an undrafted free agent, you know, undrafted college free agent after the draft. One of the things that's difficult when you're evaluating a college kicker is they're not kicking an NFL ball. They're using a scuffed up ball for the most part. It could be underinflated, could be overinflated, but they're almost like special kicking balls. And it's very difficult just watching tape to get a good idea. Number one, you don't even know what the weather conditions are, what the wind conditions are, or whatever. And so you got to go out and work these guys out and spend some time with them. I've sat at the combine and watched the kicking workout, which is the day before the other stuff gets going, and most of these guys bomb because they're using NFL balls. You know, one of the first times they're using NFL balls, and plus the pressure of the situation. So until you spend some time with them on a workout, it's hard. And personally, I'm not for drafting a place kicker. I think too many of them fail. You can look at Tampa Bay. You know, they drafted that kid from Florida State a couple years ago in the second round, and, you know, he's already been to like three or four teams and has never been able to connect in the league. Because a lot of it is mental. It's not the physical part of the game. It's the mental part of the game and the pressure. So I would think that it's going to be a veteran that they'll go out and bring in. I don't think there's any chance that Parkey is back here. And then when you look at the expressions and the comments of both Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace made at the press conference, I think it's almost a foregone conclusion that he won't be back.
Thank you, Greg. We appreciate it, buddy.
Good stuff, Greg.
Okay, guys. Talk to you soon.
That's our guy, Greg Gabriel. Yeah, you'd be hard-pressed to see him back. I know I think Pace said that he would compete, but I don't know, man. It's a hard one, Joe.
What's Robbie Gould's price going to be? What is he going to be asking for? And is there any price that would seem unreasonable for a position that you clearly need for a Super Bowl contender?
All things equal, he would want to come here and be viewed as the hero, right?
You would think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Appeal to his sense, to his sentiment. Appeal to, you know, he's thinking with his head. Appeal to his heart.
Well, it's interesting. You asked Greg about the reaction, what it's been this week about Kareem Hunt.
Yeah.
And maybe people won't say it out loud, but I haven't heard one person anywhere say, go get him. Have you?
You've been looking at the text screen?
No.
Okay. No, I think
anonymous,
there are...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there are some texters, but no, did Mark Potash, what did he write?
He wrote trust in the coach, basically, right? He said you have to, this is largely Matt Nagy's call. He coach Hunt knows the best out of anyone. Having covered Nagy for a full season, this much is certain. Nagy will not sell his soul to sign a bad guy who can help him win a football game. If he doesn't think that Hunt is capable of redemption and worthy a second chance, he's not going to take the risk.
Well, so that's as close as I've seen.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
I think he's locked up the biggest shoe deal. I think he's definitely going to be the number one pick. I mean, I think he's done enough for basketball, college basketball, that it's more about him personally now. And I think for him as a young player that I would shut it down.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That is Scottie Pippen on ESPN's The Jump. And he's talking about Zion Williamson, the presumptive Bulls selection.
He's doing a great job.
No. Are we making him the presumptive number one overall pick? Or?
Well, I think it's a very
fair assumption to make.
I think if the Bulls are lucky enough to get the number one pick, because it looks like they could be among the three worst teams, which will each have a 14% chance of getting that number one pick, the way the new
lottery
odds are stacked. Then
Bulls
yeah.
always end up when
Zion
they have a chance.
Williamson in a Bulls uniform is exciting to consider. There's not a lot exciting about the Bulls right now looking forward. I mean, it has been one of those kind of years. where you just kind of like started with a little optimism, then the injuries came, and then the dysfunction followed, and then all of a sudden here we are, almost mid-season, and what do you have to look forward to? Well, the draft lottery, because of why? The chance to draft Zion Williamson. So if he shuts it down, I don't think he's going to do that. But the idea of him shutting it down is compelling.
Would he be the best dunker in Bulls history?
No.
E-Rob.
No. Orlando Woolridge.
Oh, boy. Holy cow.
Going way back.
312-644-6767. It was a joke. Jared is on the road. Good morning, Jared.
Hey, Jared.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
You know, I hear a lot of talk with, people for or against Kareem Hunt, but what I'm not hearing is the players we have. We have two Pro Bowl running backs with Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen that they complement each other so well. I guess my question to you guys, do you think Jordan Howard is, or how about this, Kareem Hunt, put aside his disgusting acts, what he's done, do you think he's that much better or special, different than Jordan Howard?
Well, if you're watching the tape you're evaluating running backs, Kareem Hunt jumps out at you because of his knowledge of the scheme, because of what he's accomplished so far as an NFL running back, and because of the fit. There's no question about that. He's a Pro Bowl running back. He led the league in rushing as a rookie. So, yeah, from a football standpoint.
Other than that other part.
But you can't look at it just from a football standpoint.
If everyone were clean and if there wasn't for the fact that the guy has been kicked out of the league and suspended, I would say that there's – let me ask you this. Okay. Matt Nagy says you want to give a guy a second chance. Andy Reid taught him that. How many – what number chance would this be? Because he did lie to them. They had the incident.
He lied to the Chiefs.
And then he lied. So that's two strikes, right?
Lied to the league.
So they gave him a second chance, and he lied.
And we don't know. There's also investigations that are open into other incidents. Right. So are those second or third chances?
That's what I'm asking.
It's a pretty wide how much are you forgiving here when you're saying the first miss, you know?
But to answer Jared's question – Jordan Howard is not nearly the scheme fit to what the Bears are doing these days than is Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt led the NFL in rushing in the same system. He can catch the ball out of the backfield.
53 catches and 455 yards receiving.
That's the big difference.
Is Tariq Cohen a guy that you could envision being a 1,000-yard rusher?
Not if he's getting four touches on the ball.
Okay. That's a bad game plan. That's something that was very sensitive, made Matt Nagy kind of defensive the other day for the first time. And that's sort of, we know what will set him off. Ask him about getting Tariq Cohen the ball more. But if he does get him the ball more often.
I don't think he's a between the tackles runner. I don't think he has the strength to move a pile. I don't think that's his game. I think that he's used best on the edge. And I think that's why you create a lot of different types of plays
to take advantage of a playmaker. If the roles were reversed, if you got a running back that was more your complementary back, that was your between-the-tackle guy, and you made Tariq Cohen the focus of your running game, could he be that guy?
So are you saying if Howard and Kareem Hunt started together?
Jordan Howard, I don't know if he's going to be here.
If Kareem Hunt were on this team, would it make
– I'm discounting him.
I'm just like a player like that.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, if we're saying a scheme fit.
Sure.
So a player like that, would that make Tariq Cohen better or worse? Is that what you're asking?
I guess I'm asking that. Yeah.
Okay. I think he'd be better.
Why isn't Tariq Cohen the scheme fit?
He is a scheme fit, but
so why not give him the ball more?
Well, they should give him the ball more.
Okay. That's what I'm asking.
But as I said to you before, earlier in the season, I think less is more. I think that there is a sweet spot for him that tops out about 11 touches.
That answers it. So you don't believe that he's a guy that you give the ball to 15 to 20 times a game and he can be your 1,200 yard.
Do you?
I have my doubts, but at the same time, he has surprised me already in how good he is.
Maybe he develops into that, but I don't think he's that right now.
I still think that you go out and you draft a running back in the third or fourth round. Right. You get a guy that fits, and you go get the guy that you think can be Kareem Hunt, but not Kareem Hunt. You get a guy that fits, and you make him the guy that maybe surprises you is obscure running back that comes out of, you know, your mid-major school that is talented enough to trust. And you trust him, but you don't trust Kareem Hunt.
Who is your Mac guy that you want them to take?
I need to do some research, but I like the way you're thinking.
Let's try Joe. Joe's on the road.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I'm a Division I head coach, not for basketball, but for track and field. And I don't like the whole...
Oh, we lost Joe.
Loyola, Villanova, to make a run at a title. So that's what I think. I think it's good for mid-major schools to make a run at a title because they had that camaraderie over 4 years. So
Joe, we lost you for a second there. Joe, you cut out for a second. Can you repeat your point?
My point is basically that I'm a mid-major school head coach.
Right.
I think it's a good thing for mid-major schools to have a chance of winning a title like a Villanova, a Loyola, making a run at a championship.
Yes.
It's not good for college basketball overall because those players are not mature enough. I work with them every day. I have kids that can't write a check. You have no idea how to write a check. I mean, and it's kind of crazy. So giving a kid $1 million to be a first-round draft pick out of high school is not a good idea, but it does give a Loyola, a Villanova a chance to win a title. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thanks Joe.
Appreciate it.
I mean, and that's, you know, what was fun to see about the Ramblers last year is that was a team that was dominated by experienced players. That was a group that had been together for a long time. Obviously, three guys that are gone now, and then two guys that are fifth-year seniors.
Why did we like that story so much? I mean, it was the best of college sports.
It was. It was great.
It was the ideal
of college sports. Because it wasn't... A one and done team. It wasn't. It was everything. It was Porter Moser. It was Sister Jean. It was the little engine that could. It was overcoming kind of.
It was the idealized version.
Last second shots.
Of college sports.
It was unbelievable. It was Hoosiers
for every basketball romantic out there. Okay,
absolutely fantastic.
Duke is not about basketball romanticism. It's not about that kind of idea. Duke is a professional minor league training.
It might have been at one point. It might have been when they were when Coach K first got
back in 1978 when Gene Banks and Jim Sponarkle were in the Final Four. But
I'm just saying there was a point where they were, and
not anymore.
I don't know that Loyola will ever get to the point, but Loyola is, of course, the only team in Illinois history to win the NCAA championship. They did that in 1963. You laugh at that, and they had a huge run in '85, and then they had another one last year. I'm just saying there is a great tradition.
The preceding message was brought to you by the Loyola Alumni Association.
Why can't I enjoy what happened at Loyola?
Can we break down the Valpo win now?
I watched the Valpo game. I stayed up too late to watch it, and there was at one point, David. The Ramblers get called for four fouls on one possession. Have you ever heard of anything like that? I nearly rushed the floor and I wasn't even at the game. Go Ramblers!
And it was at home.
That's right. Exactly.
How did that happen?
I don't know. But the coach of Valpo is a Chicago guy. Right?
Yeah.
And they've got some Chicago kids.
So he's from the North Shore, I believe.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, congratulations to him. I didn't realize. I'd forgotten that.
I'm sure nobody ever heard
Homer
of that.
Drew's kids had left. I thought that was just
Bryce Drew is at Vanderbilt, and he's been there for a while now.
I'm just saying, I had forgotten that.
Go Doors.
I always think of Homer Drew. I forgot
Matt
that
Lodich
Homer
is the coach at Valparaiso. Yeah.
Oh, Matt Lodich. Yeah, I believe he's a Nutria grad. I think they said that on the thing. So. That's nice. He's also
that's the North Shore.
He got a good kid from Whitney Young out of there, and he's got a couple of 7-footers. It was a good game. Back off. Let's try. You want? I can break it down further.
I'm not going to be the one who's arguing against Valparaiso basketball. You want to talk some more Hoosiers?
I'm not against Valpo. Okay. I'm just pro Loyola. Derek is in Hanover Park.
Morning, Derek.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
All right. I just want to comment on Kareem Hunt. I think that if he went through the proper rehabilitation, and that if the Bears were able to acquire him in the future, that I believe that the Bears would be a instant Super Bowl contender. I think that they had a couple. I think even in that playoff game against the Eagles, I just think that if Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen could have maybe gained more yards on carries, that
hey Derek, Derek, would you still feel that way if Kansas City wins the Super Bowl without him?
I would.
They're doing pretty good without him, man. I don't know if you're paying.
Hey, Derek, the Bears are a Super Bowl contender.
Wow. The Bears should have done better.
They are.
If they hadn't missed a kick, they wouldn't have lost the defensive coaching staff, and they'd be back next year. Let's assign blame. Let's attack. Let's go.
Is Khalil Mack
back? Speaking of attack.
Is Akeem Hicks back?
We'll bring in Dan Bernstein and Connor McKnight next.
Okay.
And we'll get into an argument with them about something.
Oh,
no,
can't
we
wait.
We always have lovely conversation. We conversate lovely. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.